After the brilliant victory at the Battle of Austerlitz, Napoleon's only major opponent was Great Britain. However, after losing his fleet at the Battle of Trafalgar, he could not transport his army to the British Isles. Napoleon then decided to defeat Britain not on the battlefield, but in an economic confrontation. It was decided to block Britain's trade with European countries in Paris, using the trade restrictions imposed on the British after the Revolution as a pretext. Napoleon introduced a ban on trade with Great Britain in France and its dependent countries. This event will go down in history as the Continental Blockade. However, these trade restrictions brought Napoleon not victory, but a host of new problems. The French economy, especially in coastal regions, suffered a colossal blow as it relied heavily on trade with the British, which continued even during wartime. French industries couldn't produce as many goods as France required. As a result, smuggling flourished, trade with the British bypassing the law. The blockade brought even greater problems to France's allies, whose economies couldn't survive without trade with the British. Consequently, smuggling flourished here on an even larger scale. Local authorities turned a blind eye to smuggling, and even supported it. This became such a massive issue that in 1807, Napoleon sent troops into the Kingdom of Etruria. However, this did not decrease its trade with the British. Instead, French officials began to benefit from it. As a result, more Italians came to hate France. Due to the continental blockade, relations with Portugal, which was in an ambiguous position at the time, became strained. On one hand, the kingdom was considered neutral, and thus traded with Britain. On the other hand, Napoleon believed that after recent wars, Portugal was under a French protectorate. Therefore, Portugal was obligated either to join the continental blockade or go to war with France again. Before the war, Napoleon also made a treaty with Spain, obtaining permission for his army to pass through and receive military assistance in exchange for the southern part of Portugal. Meanwhile, in Lisbon itself, the threat of war was understood, but all preparations for it were limited to creating a plan to move the capital to Rio de Janeiro. In the autumn of 1807, French troops under the command of General Junot, supported by the Spanish, invaded Portugal. With practically no resistance, Junot captured the country and occupied Lisbon a day after the Portuguese royal family fled the city to the new capital in Brazil. Even during the campaign in Portugal, Napoleon became disillusioned with Spain. King Charles IV was a poor politician and so weak-willed that he made his wife's lover, Manuel Godoy, the prime minister. Godoy, who held real power in the kingdom, became notorious for corruption and intrigue. He was hated both in Spain and abroad. Meanwhile, Prince Ferdinand aspired to power and constantly plotted against his father and the prime minister. It is not surprising that such a situation irritated the ambitious Napoleon. In the winter of 1808, French troops led by General Murat entered Spain. Officially, they were heading to Gibraltar, but they quickly occupied the north of the kingdom. The royal family left Madrid. In March 1808, Prince Ferdinand led a successful uprising and proclaimed himself the King of Spain. However, Napoleon refused to recognize the new king. Consequently, Charles and his son Ferdinand were forced to go to France, where, under pressure from the French, both abdicated the Spanish throne. Thus, Napoleon's brother Joseph Bonaparte became the new King of Spain. The presence of the French was not welcomed by the Spaniards. The nobility disapproved of the French liberal reforms. Spanish merchants did not want to sever profitable trade with Britain. For ordinary Spaniards, a foreign army on their land was a national humiliation. King Joseph was also unpopular, quickly earning nicknames such as El Rey Intruso and Don Pepe Botella. Thus, in May, an uprising broke out in Madrid, which the French brutally suppressed. However, the revolt soon spread throughout Spain, engulfing the kingdom in guerrilla warfare. In the summer of that same year, the Spaniards achieved their first significant victory against the French. At Bailén, they defeated the army of General Dupont, which was returning from the sacked city of Córdoba. Shortly afterward, the Spaniards liberated Madrid. Inspired by these successes, the Portuguese also rose in revolt. At the same time, a British expeditionary force landed on the peninsula. Among its commanders was the talented military leader Arthur Wellesley, who defeated the French at the Battle of Vimeiro and liberated Portugal. From there, the British began their advance into Spain. In the autumn, Napoleon entered Spain with his troops. In the Battle of Somosierra, the French defeated the Spaniards. The Polish cavalry forces serving Napoleon gained the most fame in this battle. With a single swift attack, they secured victory for the French, opening the road to Madrid. The leadership of the Spanish insurgents fled to Cadiz under the protection of the British fleet. Afterward, the French army dispersed across the territory of Spain to conquer the entire country. However, they immediately encountered heroic resistance from the Spaniards. During this time, the garrison of Saragossa became particularly renowned for holding out during a 2-month siege. Despite the British defeat at the Battle of Elvina, where they were forced to withdraw from the peninsula, the Spaniards had no plans to surrender and continued their guerrilla warfare. Leaving Joseph in Spain, Napoleon marched with the majority of his troops to Germany. In April 1809, the Austrian army attacked France's allies, the Kingdom of Bavaria. The Austrians were led by Archduke Charles, who abandoned traditional tactics and borrowed methods from Napoleon's warfare. Thanks to this, the Austrians captured Regensburg and nearly defeated the corps of the French Marshal Davout, who was saved only by the timely arrival of reinforcements. Soon, Napoleon also arrived in Bavaria with the rest of his troops. The initiative shifted to the French. After a brief siege, during which Napoleon was wounded, the French captured Regensburg. From there, they began their advance, pursuing the Austrian army. Along the way, Napoleon detached his forces to besiege Austrian fortresses and capture provinces. Thus, when he reached Vienna, he had only 80,000 soldiers behind him. Archduke Charles chose not to defend the capital, instead withdrawing the Austrian forces to the marshes of Lobau. Utilizing the advantages of the terrain, he defeated the French during the Danube crossing. The battle, known as the Battle of Aspern-Essling, became Napoleon's first significant defeat, and his forces were compelled to leave the battlefield for the first time. However, the French did not abandon Vienna. Relaxed by their victory, the Austrians did not pay attention to the preparations of the French. Meanwhile, the French secretly constructed bridges downstream and crossed the Danube unnoticed in the summer. In the Battle of Wagram, Archduke Charles suffered defeat and was forced to capitulate. Austria signed the Treaty of Schönbrunn, under which it ceded the Illyrian provinces to France, Lesser Poland to the Duchy of Warsaw, Tyrol to Bavaria, and Ternopil to the Russian Empire. Additionally, Austria was obligated to pay reparations to France, amounting to nearly 100 million francs. However, after this, Napoleon offered Austria an alliance. Furthermore, to solidify the alliance, he divorced his wife Josephine and married Marie Louise, the daughter of the Austrian Emperor. Reconciliation with Austria was a wise move, because while Napoleon was fighting on the Danube, the British landed a force in the Netherlands and the Pyrenees, and also financed uprisings in Italy and Germany. Although the French quickly suppressed the uprisings and the British in the Netherlands, in Spain, the British, led by Arthur Wellesley, won several minor battles and consolidated their position on the peninsula. Moreover, the British attempted to persuade the Russian Emperor Alexander I to oppose Napoleon. Meanwhile, Alexander I was convinced that Napoleon's marriage to Marie Louise was definitely a conspiracy between the French and the Austrians against the Russian Empire, because the Russian Emperor himself had not long ago offered Napoleon a marriage to his sister Catherine, and the conclusion of a Franco-Russian alliance against Austria. Even the fact that simultaneously with the Austrian War, the French helped the Russian Empire to capture Finland didn't help. Alexander I began preparing for war. the Russian army was increased to 700,000 soldiers, and in the project plan, it was planned to expand to 1 million. Military reform began in 1811. However, the main reason for the rupture of the alliance between France and Russia was Poland. As early as 1810, Alexander I expressed claims to it. Napoleon, however, refused to cede the Duchy of Warsaw to him. Therefore, in 1811, the Russians brought 300,000 soldiers to the border with Poland and secretly offered an alliance against France to the Poles themselves. In response, in the spring of 1812, Napoleon led 12 corps to the border of the Russian Empire. However, only 4 of these corps were French, the rest being soldiers from those countries Napoleon had compelled to become allies through warfare. Consequently, they had no desire to fight. Meanwhile, Napoleon's best troops were sent to Spain to defeat the British-Spanish forces under Arthur Wellesley. The Russian army, however, was in an even worse state. Most of the Russian soldiers had been recently conscripted. There was a shortage of weapons and artillery. The training of soldiers was delayed, and out of nearly 300,000 soldiers, units were still not formed, and instead of war, they remained in the rear. Instead, serf peasants were allowed to form militia units in exchange for the promise of freedom after the war. Cossack units in the steppes were expanded to nearly 100,000 men. Horse regiments were also formed by Muslims, which was generally prohibited by Russian laws. The Emperor of Russia had to appoint General Kutuzov as the supreme commander, who had previously fallen out of favor, as he had once argued with the Emperor at the Battle of Austerlitz. In June 1812, the French army crossed the border and began advancing into the Russian Empire in 3 columns. Napoleon planned to encircle the Russian forces in Lithuania, and he nearly succeeded. However, his Italian allies let him down. Due to weak discipline among the troops, they simply failed to close the encirclement. The Russian army escaped to Polotsk. In the occupied territories, Napoleon restored the Grand Duchy of Lithuania and, after failed negotiations, began his campaign towards Moscow. Meanwhile, Kutuzov, who had just arrived in the city, rejected the tactic of a decisive battle. Instead, he dispersed his forces throughout the provinces, initiated a partisan war, and resorted to scorched earth tactics. Russian forces destroyed all available food supplies, poisoned wells and other water sources, burned villages, and drove peasants into the forests. French troops, lacking proper supply, advanced through famine-stricken lands, starving alongside local peasants. This affected the Allied forces the most, who began to desert en masse. The French army was further devastated by a typhus epidemic. Only about 200,000 soldiers reached Moscow. In July 1812, Napoleon received another piece of bad news. His brother Joseph's army in Spain suffered defeat at the Battle of Salamanca against the British. Kutuzov's tactics were unpopular among the Russian army. It was believed that he was giving up Russian lands without a fight. Therefore, when the question of defending Moscow arose in August, Kutuzov, under pressure from Russian generals, agreed to give battle to Napoleon. The Russian army took position to the west of Moscow. The Battle of Moscow, or as the Russians called it, the Battle of Borodino, lasted the entire day. During this time, the French managed to break through the Russian front lines, capture almost all the artillery, and their cavalry flanked the enemy. Overnight, Kutuzov made the difficult decision to retreat from the battlefield and hand Moscow over to the French. However, Napoleon did not send his guard to pursue the retreating enemy, essentially saving the Russian army from total defeat. The capture of Moscow brought Napoleon no benefit, as the city was burned by the Russians as part of their scorched earth tactics. Food supplies were burned, leading to hunger among French soldiers. Thus, although Napoleon did not lose the battle, he lost the war and was forced to retreat. The route led through the war-torn lands of Belarus and Lithuania. Therefore, less than 100,000 soldiers of the Grand Armée returned to Poland. Following them was the Russian army, ready to advance into Europe. Later in Russian and world history, victory was attributed to the winter. Supposedly, the French army perished from the cold during the campaign, although all the fighting of this war took place in summer. Rumors of Napoleon's defeats led to a rebellion of Germans, and Prussian soldiers turned their bayonets against the French. Sweden also declared war on France, and its troops soon arrived in Germany. Napoleon hastily began to gather an army, whose soldiers, due to poor training, the French mockingly dubbed Marie Louise's. With these forces, Napoleon won several minor battles, but the victories came with greater losses than those of his opponents. Meanwhile, in Spain, Allied forces of Spaniards and British under the command of Arthur Wellesley won a series of battles, which, due to their scale, became known as the Battle of the Pyrenees. Spain was liberated from the French. The British began a campaign to France. Arthur Wellesley, for his successes, was awarded the title Duke of Wellington, under which he would go down in history. Napoleon's failures did not end there. In the summer of 1813, Austria and Bavaria turned against him. After several months of maneuvers in Germany, Napoleon's army was pressed to the river Weisse-Elster near Leipzig. His opponents had a numerical advantage of 1.5 times, but they did not dare to attack. Therefore, Napoleon took the initiative, attempting to expand his battlefield and defeat the enemies one at a time. However, the more the French attacked, the more actively their opponents responded. After 4 days of fighting, it became clear that the French could not win, so Napoleon retreated. Due to the large number of countries involved in the Battle of Leipzig, it entered history as the Battle of the Nations. The attempt to defend France was unsuccessful. Already in the spring of 1814, Paris was occupied by the Allied forces. Thus, on April 6th, Napoleon abdicated power. France once again became a kingdom under the rule of Louis XVIII. Napoleon moved to live on a small island in the Mediterranean Sea, Elba, and was granted the right to govern it alongside the title of Prince of Elba. The fate of post-war Europe was to be decided by the Congress of All Countries, which took place in Vienna. But Napoleon was not planning to surrender permanently. In March 1815, he left Elba with his troops and landed in Gulf Juan. From there, Napoleon headed to Paris. All the troops he encountered along the way switched to his side. By the end of the march, Napoleon had regained control over all of France. Almost immediately, a coalition from all European states rose against him. Napoleon attempted negotiations, but to no avail. British troops, led by the Duke of Wellington, landed in the Netherlands. They were joined daily by Allied forces from the German states. Napoleon then decided to march out and defeat the British before their main German ally, the Prussian army, led by General Blücher, could reach them. Napoleon quickly assembled 120,000 soldiers and set out on a campaign in the summer, which came as a complete surprise to Wellington. Soon, the French blocked Blücher's path and forced the Prussian forces to retreat. Following this, Napoleon turned towards the British and clashed with them at the Battle of Waterloo. However, the unexpected return of Blücher's army thwarted all of the French Emperor's plans. Napoleon suffered defeat in the battle, returned to Paris, and abdicated power on June 22nd, for the second and final time. This brief return of Napoleon is remembered as the Hundred Days period. Although Napoleon never returned to power again, spending the rest of his life in exile on the island of St. Helena, a popular political movement in France continued to support Napoleon, known as Bonapartism. Its main idea was the restoration of the French Empire. The most famous representative of Bonapartism in history is Napoleon's nephew, Louis Bonaparte, who later became Emperor Napoleon III. However, the rise of Bonapartism was short-lived, as France definitively abandoned monarchy and became a democratic republic after the Franco-Prussian War in 1871.